In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Please be seated. In the lesson from the Hebrew Bible today, from 1 Kings, in the midst of a terrible famine, a widow takes the last little bit of meal and oil she has to feed herself and her son, and she shares it with Elijah. In the gospel lesson, Jesus praises a poor widow for offering a handful of coins to the temple treasury and criticizes the wealthy donors who put in large sums, because while the wealthy people gave that day from their abundance and still had abundance left to spare, the widow gave all she had to live on. Jesus once famously said, "It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." We all know that one, right? Can it really be that the poor are praised above others? That these widows are honored because they gave the last box of cereal they had in the food pantry to someone else in need, or their last dollar to the church? Is this what it takes to be faithful to God, to follow Jesus? Why does the Bible seem to praise the poor and have this bias against the rich? And what are we, who are all wealthy in biblical terms, supposed to take away from the scriptures today? Does God enjoy making us squirm? Let's deal with the first question first. Why all this praise for the poor? If it seems like these stories romanticize or idealize the poor, I think surely the poor would be the first to object. Poverty is something everyone wants to avoid, not aspire to. No one dreams of growing up poor, of living from government check to government check, of digging through garbage cans or living in rundown apartments infested with cockroaches. The women Elijah met at the gate and who Jesus watched at the temple treasury were not poor widows. They were poor because they were widows. To be widowed meant that you had lost the person on whom you were totally dependent. To be widowed meant you were forced to live off the good graces of other male relatives and anyone in the community who might provide a meal here or a little money there. It's hard to romanticize that. The two little coins in one story and the bit of meal and oil in the other were probably all these women had left. And yet they gave it. I don't think the Bible is saying that it's better to be poor. These stories just point out that the poor have less opportunity to be lured by money into a false sense of security or independence or power, which is the ability to make the things we want to happen, happen. Less ability to distance themselves from suffering. The truth is, and the extremely poor know it very well, those coins in the one woman's hand and that last little bit of food in the others weren't going to change the lives of those two women. When you've got so little, a penny or two isn't going to move you from welfare to work. That last little bit of food is only going to last you one more day anyway. The widow in Elijah's story truly believes that death is on the other side of that last meal. So what difference is it going to make anyway if that meal is just a little smaller because you've just shared it with someone else? Rich people, or relatively rich people like us, can't say the same. You may not think of yourself as rich, but you probably are. At least in biblical terms, you are. At the very least, whatever money you earn, or pension, or bit of Social Security income, or even unemployment insurance, gives you and me independence and freedom from begging on the street. I like it that way, honestly. And I like to be able to enjoy a meal out with my family and an occasional few days away. So I'm not planning to put my entire paycheck in the offering plate today. Nor will I give it all to the Episcopal Relief and Development to help those affected by Hurricane Sandy. But this story does force me to stop and think about my relationship to that paycheck and my relationship to God and the relationship between the two of those things. Those two widows weren't dependent on their money or possessions for their status in life. They had no real status to protect. Nor were they dependent on their money for a sense of security. They would never have enough to feel secure more than one day at a time, if that. These two women were dependent on God and their neighbor for everything. They didn't have 2 feet to stand on. They didn't have bootstraps to pull up. They were totally dependent. And that's what we can pull out of these stories like a pearl of great price. As Americans, we don't tend to like being dependent. We don't ever think of it as a good thing. But these women knew their need of God because they didn't have anything else to depend on. Poverty does that for people sometimes. So can also a terrible tragedy or difficulty in one's life. When we know our need of God, in some strange way, that dependency can set us free. Those two women, they could give their last dollar to the temple treasury or their last box of cereal to someone else in need because they knew it wasn't really theirs anyway to give. It was just manna from heaven that came every day, one day after another. Somehow they had something to eat. Remember that story from the time of Exodus when God rained down manna, little bits of bread from heaven each night as the Hebrew people made their way across the desert, escaping from slavery into the promised land? God provided enough manna day by day. But if the people tried to stockpile it for the next day, it rotted and would not keep. There's a reason that story about manna is part of the larger story of the Exodus. It was during the Exodus that that ragtag group of escaped slaves was formed into the people of God, into the people of Israel, who were to be a people after God's own heart. That's what he wanted of them. To be a light to all the nations, to an example to all of the world of what it looked like to live faithfully. So trusting God to give us this day our daily bread is clearly at the core of what it means to live a life in God. So I think the Bible does not really romanticize or idealize poverty. It's just that people who are poor have fewer obstacles preventing them from realizing how truly dependent they are on God for everything good in their lives. And it seems that the closer we can get as human beings to that truth, the more generous we can be with others. Not that all poor people always realize this and live a purer life in relationship to God and things. But I think Scripture does say that the poor have a leg up in these matters over those of us who are more financially secure. This relationship between poverty and generosity, there's proof of that, really, in the fact that you can look it up. in the fact that poor and working poor people in this country give far more to charity as a percentage of their income than the middle class or the wealthy. And middle class people give far more as a percentage of their income than the wealthy do. Far more. When we realize the closer we are to that reality that we are dependent on God for all good things and that we have been given so many good things, then the more free we feel to share those things with others. And here's another little secret. The freedom to be generous makes us happy. Far happier than the things we rich people think we can't part with. Picture the most generous person you know. I mean, really think about someone you know who is really a generous, kind, giving person. If you can't think of someone, think of Mama Hill, who most of us know here at St. Francis. Think of their face. Think of the kinds of things they say and do. Think of their heart. Now think of the most stingy person you know, who grudges tipping at restaurants and is always lamenting the cost of everything. Think of their face. Which face do you want yours to look like? Now let me return to that second question that I started with. What does this mean for us? What are we to take away from these lessons from Scripture today? Are we to walk away feeling bad and guilty that we're not poor? If we don't give everything to church or charity? It's not that God wants us to give every single thing we have to the temple treasury. The issue is that if you just said, "Phew, thank goodness, she said God doesn't expect me to give every last thing I have," then it means that, at least according to Jesus, you still have some work to do in relationship to money, because you're not free from fear inside. You're still afraid and still clinging to it instead of God for your most fundamental sense of well-being and security. The issue isn't how much money we have in the bank, but what that money is to us. Is it our heart, our security, our source of power, our freedom from fear, or we think so? William Sloane Coffin, I think it was, who said, "The purpose of the gospel is to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable." Feel afflicted? I do. But the purpose of these lessons today is not guilt, but change. In the Bible, judgment, the judgment of God, is never aimed at making us guilty. It's not given to us to make us feel bad. Judgment, the judgment of God, comes to bring about a change. Its ultimate aim is to set us free, to help us to see a new possibility and to be free to claim it. So I pray that none of us is ever as poor as these two women in our stories today, but that we are just, if not more, free. Amen.